Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace. Go in the Holy Spirit's power. Sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We invite you to come and join us on Sunday mornings, but if it's too far for you to come, you can always go and watch our services on our online connection. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the icon at 10 o'clock in the morning. We have our services live online. You can chat, you can pray, you can fellowship with one another. We're studying the book of Acts. I have an Old Testament passage and the Acts passage today. We got a lot of ground to cover. Let's pray. Lord God, we just give thanks for this day. We give thanks for each and every person listening. I pray that you would minister to them with your grace that is sufficient. Minister to them with your power. We say, come, Holy Spirit, and fill us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Grab your Bibles. We're going to be in Ezekiel. Boy, that's an Old Testament passage. Ezekiel chapter 37, 1 through 14, and then we're going to read Acts chapter 2, 1 through 12. Ezekiel 37, the hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. And he said to me, mortal, can these bones live? Boy, that's a great question after we've been through a year and a half of lockdown. Can we come back to life? He said, mortal, can these bones live? I answered, oh, Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Boy, that's my prayer for you right now. Hear the word of the Lord. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're facing. Maybe your bones are really dry, but hear the word of the Lord. Verse 5, thus the Lord God said, to these bones, I will cause breath or spirit to enter them, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and you will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath or the spirit in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. Verse 7, so I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and the flesh had come upon them, and the skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, O wind or spirit, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, wind, and spirit, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. Verse 10, I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. And then he said to me, mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is lost and we are cut off completely. Boy, I think verse 11, we could say, well, these bones are our house. These bones are our church. These bones are our business. These bones are our city. They're dried up and our hope is lost and we're just completely cut off. Verse 12, therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I'll bring you back to the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord. Wow, what a prophecy. Ezekiel 37, dry bones coming to life. Acts chapter 2, 1 through 12. We're in the book of Acts. The last couple of weeks, we read chapter 1 and waiting and praying and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like a rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. Verse 4, all of them, I love that. I mean, just stop, and if you have your Bible, underline all, circle it. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you know the Greek word is panta, P-A-N-T-A, panta. Do you know what panta means in Greek? It means all. It means all. All of them, not some of them, not few of them, not one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at the sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? In essence, if you don't understand this talk, he said, you know, aren't these people really uneducated? They don't have an education. They didn't go to the Ivy League schools, or they didn't go to UCLA or USC. These people that are speaking are uneducated. They're Galileans. And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? In 2007, Newsweek had an edition. The author and radio personality Garrison Keillor was asked to choose what he considered to be the five most important books. Some readers were surprised to find that he ranked the Book of Acts at the top of the list. When describing the Book of Acts, Garrison Keillor offered his concise but potent summation. This is what he said, quote, the flames lit on their little heads, and bravely and dangerously they went onward. Well, we have just begun our journey through the Book of Acts. You're with us. If you haven't listened to the other broadcasts, you can go to our website and check them out. There are 28 chapters in the Book of Acts, and I have been suggesting for the last few weeks that we are writing chapter 29. I have asked you to think about sharing a resurrection response with me. Take your time, write down, what does the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit mean to you? What was your conversion experience like? What did it feel like when you were filled with holy boldness? As Garrison Keillor said, the flames lit on their little heads, and bravely and dangerously they went onward. Wow. I truly believe that we all have had and will continue to have resurrection responses. I think that while these 120 disciples all gathered together in the upper room waiting for the promised gift of the Holy Spirit, they not only prayed, they shared their resurrection responses with each other. They told each other of the time they saw Christ heal the blind man with some mud, feed 5,000 with a few loaves and fishes, and, well, man, he brought Lazarus back to life from the grave. Can you imagine being an eyewitness standing at the grave of Lazarus and Jesus calling out, come out, and here comes a dead man walking? I think that's all I would ever be talking about. I was there. I saw it. They shared how Christ appeared to them in the upper room, breathed on them, and filled them with hope. The Book of Acts is about the birth of the church. Boy, do we need a new birth today. When the church has been locked down, shut down, pandemic has hit us, fear is overwhelming us, doubt, depression. We need a new birth. The church came into being through the person, work, and power of the Holy Spirit. Today, I'd like for us to take some time to think about the person, the work, and the power of the Holy Spirit. There's your 3 points: the person of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit, and the power of the Holy Spirit. We'll take a few moments and try and hit on those 3 points. Now, there have been a multitude of books written on this, so I'm just going to touch the surface. If you want a good book on the Holy Spirit, email me. I'll send you some ideas help you with that. First, the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is not a it. The Holy Spirit is mentioned in the Bible with personal pronouns. The last night Jesus was with his disciples, he promised them that the Holy Spirit would come. Listen to what Jesus said in the upper room the night that he was betrayed, John 13, verses 16 through 18. Jesus said, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be with you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." John 13, 16 through 18. Did you notice that Jesus promises what he promises here? He said, "I will come to you." Not the Holy Spirit will come to you. Why did he put it like that? Because the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one God, Trinity. Jesus needed to leave this world where he was limited by the physical nature of being God incarnate so he could come to us in the form of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to earth to fill us with God himself. The Holy Spirit comes into our lives and hearts as Spirit and indwells and lives in each one of us. Think of it this way. As Jesus Christ, God came to die for us, the Holy Spirit, God, came to live in us. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. We're talking about the person of the Holy Spirit. The activity of the Holy Spirit is the activity of God. The Holy Spirit is omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent, everywhere, omnipotent, all-powerful, and eternal. There never was a time when the Spirit of God did not exist. I like what J.B. Phillips says about the Holy Spirit. He says, quote, "Every time we say, 'I believe in the Holy Spirit,' we mean that we believe that there is a living God able and willing to enter our human personality and change it." Boy, do we need a change. In the major ancient languages, Hebrew, Greek, and Latin, the word for spirit was always used for wind or breath. The Hebrew word for spirit is ruah. It's really a guttural word. It's ruach. And in Genesis 1, it was the ruach of God that hovered over the face of the earth at the beginning of creation. In Genesis 2, it is the ruach of God, the breath that was breathed into the dust of the earth as Adam is given life. In Ezekiel 37, which we read just a little bit ago, our Old Testament reading for today, it is the ruach of the Spirit of God that is breathed into the dry bones. The Greek word for spirit is pneuma. Pneuma. In fact, when you say these two words, the Hebrew word ruah or pneuma, it's like you're breathing out. You're breathing in, you're breathing out. Do you realize every time you take a breath, and we take a lot of breaths every day, we breathe in, we breathe out. We're given life through the Spirit. And so the Greek word is pneuma. In John 3, we are told the story of Nicodemus, the Pharisee. And Nicodemus comes to Jesus in the middle of the night because he's afraid. I love that story. I call it Nick at Night. He comes to Jesus in the middle of the night because he's afraid. And Jesus tells Nicodemus, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. And of course, Nicodemus asks, how can a person be born again? And Jesus answers him by saying, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of the water and the Spirit. Jesus goes on to tell Nicodemus about the wind, the pneuma, that blows wherever it pleases. As the Holy Spirit makes his entrance into this world, he does it in 3 dramatic ways: wind, fire, and praise. That's what I think. Wind, fire, and praise. Each of these three things carries great significance for us. Let's look at wind. Our Old Testament scripture says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. As I was thinking about this passage, I thought of the times that I found myself in windstorms and tornadoes. I grew up in Illinois, in the Midwest. I pastored in Missouri. I remember when we were living in Texas and we crawled into the closet because a tornado was going through. I don't know if, I mean, out here we do earthquakes, but have you ever been in a tornado? It sounds like a freight train coming. I was there. I thought of the times where these tornadoes have come through. I've seen tornadoes and I've seen devastations of hurricanes. I've been blinded by the blowing wind during a snowstorm. The lawn furniture blew off my porch the other day. I'm sure that each of us have seen and felt the power of wind. Just think of these 120 disciples huddled together in that upper room. They must have been confused, puzzled, bewildered, frightened, and worried. Yet, wow, that kind of sounds like us today. We're a little bit bewildered, we're confused, we're puzzled, we're frightened and worried. But you know what those people were doing, those 120 people? Well, they were worshiping, they were praying, and they were sharing their resurrection responses. Friends, I don't know where you're at, but it's time to get back to the church. It's time to get back and fellowship, start worshiping online if you're afraid to go to church, worshiping and praying with others on the phone. It's time to share your resurrection responses. Jesus had told them to wait for the gift. They never knew that the gift would be in the form of a violent wind. Well, I know I'm going to be really radical here. Maybe the gift God has given us is a pandemic so that we could turn our hearts back to Him. Now, that's radical, and I'll probably get a lot of emails on that. But God wants our attention so that we can turn our attention back to Him. We're told by our good friend Dr. Luke, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability. What I find really interesting in this passage is that the house is filled with a violent wind, the ruah, the pneuma, and then they are filled. The word filled, or fullness of the Spirit, is used 14 times in the book of Acts. There is a theme here. The growth of the church came about by the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit first filled the room and then filled the people. We are told not only about the wind of the Holy Spirit, we're also told about the tongues of fire. What does the fire have to do with the Holy Spirit? Well, in the days of the early church, fire symbolized several things. Fire brought light. It was the fire by night that led the Israelites through the wilderness. Jesus said that He was the light of the world, and the light overcomes the darkness. It was the fire that brought warmth. Fire was also used to purify. Fire purifies. The only way we can purify our hearts and our lives is through the ruah of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will search out the deep, dark secrets of our soul. The Holy Spirit will convict us and convince us of our sin. Jesus said, "But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. When He comes, He will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin, and righteousness and judgment in regard to sin, because men do not believe in Me in regard to the righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see Me no longer, in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned." John 16:7-11. These tongues of fire symbolize the power, the passion, and the purity of God. So what? I've been talking a long time. We need to wrap it up. So what? What does all this talk about the Holy Spirit have to do with us today? I truly believe that being born again by water and Spirit is not the end, but it's a beginning. It's where Acts chapter 29 begins in our lives. The disciples were gathered in the upper room. They were already believers. They were meeting together. They were praying together. They were studying their Bibles together. Does any of that sound familiar? And then the Holy Spirit came upon them in a special way and filled them with power for the tasks ahead of them. They were given unity by the Spirit. They were given the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They were bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love and joy and peace and patience or long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, and self-control and faith. Does that sound familiar? Elton Trueblood wrote a book called Incendiary Fellowship. Trueblood describes the character and company of those who were filled with the Holy Spirit with the word incendiary. Incendiary means to be set ablaze. Incendiary refers to those in whom the fire of the Holy Spirit is so intense they cannot keep the message of the Spirit to themselves. That's exactly what happened when these 120 disciples were blown by the wind of the Holy Spirit and tongues of fire fell on them. They could not contain themselves and ran outside to speak of Jesus to everyone they met. The so what question for us today is the same question asked in Acts chapter 2, verse 12. What does this mean? We have two responses to the resurrection. The first is to believe. The second is to be closed to it, deny it, ignore it, or explain it away. This week's so what is our Acts 29 answer, chapter 2:12. What does this mean? What does the resurrection mean to you? What does the resurrection mean to you and me today? What does the resurrection mean to your family, your church, your place of work? Acts chapter 1, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all of Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Acts 1:8. Here's the truth of the gospel, the good news. If we have confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we have been sealed with the power of the Holy Spirit. Thus says the Lord, I will cause breath, ruah, to enter you, and you shall live. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and set us ablaze with the fire of your love. Convict us and cleanse us. Set our hearts on fire so that we cannot contain ourselves as we write our own chapter 29 of the books of Acts in our daily living. Your word says, how lovely are the feet of those who bring good news. Our God reigns. Amen. I want you to know that if you need special prayer, our prayer team would gladly pray for you. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the prayer icon. Our prayer team will pray for you. You can always go to our YouTube channel and watch our services. We have our children's messages for children. We have our weekly messages. We have our whole worship service there. Join us on Sunday mornings. I want you to know, God loves you. And so do I. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, PastorDave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.